Welcome back to In the Moment. And now we celebrate the upcoming tourism season in South Dakota. South Dakota Secretary of Tourism Jim Hagan joins us now. Welcome back to In the Moment.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. So good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be with you. It was a little snowy in Pierre this morning, but I think the sun is probably going to be out this afternoon.
That's what I heard. A little snow in April is not necessarily a bad
thing. Not a bad thing. We'll take the moisture for sure.
Yes, it sort of depends on your point of view. And So I have in front of me the New York Times Magazine with Mount Rushmore on the cover. It's a beautiful photo and what I like to call somewhat of a snarky article.
You know what's really interesting about that article, though, was I was in Washington, D.C. Last week, and I had so many people from around the country come up to me and say, oh, we read that great article in the New York Times Magazine, and I said, I kind of had this look on my face, and I said, did you like it? And they said, oh, yeah, we thought it was fantastic. And I said, well, it left me scratching my head a little bit, and I think for South Dakotans, we were like, one, what is he coming in the winter for? Two, he should have called us for some advice because we would have told him all these things he could have done. But it was funny nationally how many people thought it was such a great article and a great focus on South Dakota. So I guess it's your point of view.
Right. I was wondering about that, how the impact of something like that. And on one hand, he calls, the sculpture on Mount Rushmore a weirdo and compares it to a larger-than-life weirdo, compares it to Guts and Borglum. And then his kids don't want to get out of the car. They're on their phones. And so in another way, it was sort of this great tribute to the great American road trip.
Right? So you just were sort of scratching your head going, okay, I'm not quite sure how to take this article, but I can tell you, outside our borders, the reaction was very positive. So that's a good thing.
Excellent. Any trip to Mount Rushmore that starts with the Mall of America is probably not.
You know, and a friend of mine said to me years ago, hey, any news about your state is good news, whether it's bad news or snarky news or anytime you're in the spotlight, it's a good thing because people are talking about you. So,
you know, because he has that moment in there where he looks out at, and I think, I don't know, I'm guessing a lot of people have that same moment. They come to see Mount Rushmore and then they notice what's around it. And they didn't expect that. We know it.
That's right.
And we love it and we appreciate it and we use it. But they're surprised, and he was surprised by the landscape. And
absolutely.
There's this moment where his daughter just, I don't understand the world. Her mind is, her mind is blown. And she has this moment of just, anxiety coming from the city to a place like this. So I don't know, as a parent, take away the phones. This is a great...
Absolutely. Yeah, there were some... and a few people said to me, we would have some parenting advice for the author of the article, but that's okay. You know, it's funny because we probably about three summers ago hosted nine travel writers who were from the New York City area. And what was so interesting is we took them from Sioux Falls across I-90, we had to stop for them in these wide open prairies.
Right.
And to them, it was disconcerting. They were like, it's beautiful, but it's a little scary to us, too, because the sky is so big and the landscapes just go on forever. We can hardly handle this, or we can't get our minds around it. So, it's just interesting to get
we just sort of sit here and quietly blow your mind.
Right.
Is
exactly.
What I just interviewed a poet last week from D.C. and New York, and had the same thing, and her eyes just kind of got wide, and she said, there is so much sky.
Exactly.
So I'm not used to it. She was trying to process it. How do I process this much open space?
Isn't that funny? And so, those are things we constantly have to be reminding ourselves about when we're hosting visitors from across the nation and the world, because they're not used to these wide open spaces, beautiful spaces, but it's always interesting to hear those stories and get the perspective.
And I think, if other people had a response to it that was positive, when I read it, I had a response that made me very satisfied and deeply content to be the person who lives here.
Yes, exactly.
And to have the winter, those winter moments where it's just you, hiking out in the wilderness there and welcoming other people into that space for a while.
I agree.
So, all right, what are you working on now? What's the big push in April?
Oh, boy, it has been busy. So our peak media launched a number of weeks ago in all of our key markets. So those are markets like Chicago and Minneapolis and the Front Range of Colorado and Nebraska and Iowa. And And this year's theme, again, is My Great Place. So we're really excited about it. We're getting good feedback from people who are seeing our marketing, whether it's out of home or TV or alternative TV, et cetera. So we also have National Travel and Tourism Week coming up May 8th, the week of May 8th. And this year's theme is The Faces of Travel.
Mm-hmm.
So really trying to put a focus on those great faces in South Dakota that make our industry so special. The governor will be working with us on some special events, and so stay tuned for some more news about that. But it's going to be a week for us to put a spotlight on the importance of travel and tourism to South Dakota. Some of us just got back from Washington, D.C. We were there working with our congressional delegation and just talking again about the importance of travel tourism nationally and in the state, and working on policies that will affect travel in a positive way for all of us. So,
give me an example of what a policy would be that affects travel in a positive way.
Well, I think one would be talking about the importance of international travelers, in light of a lot of the things we've been seeing going on in Washington, D.C. But international travel is incredibly important to this country and to this region of the country and to our state as well. And so just talking about making sure that safety is always first and security is always first, but making sure that as we're working on safety and security issues to keep our country safe, that we don't forget to welcome those legitimate travelers too, those who aren't being vetted. And so we cannot forget to put that welcome mat out because America does welcome visitors from all over the globe, and we're happy to have them here because they support, you know, millions of jobs, and it's hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact. So that's just one of the issues. There are issues with airports and modernizing infrastructure to make it easier to handle the number of folks domestically who are traveling and international. So those are just two examples of some of the issues. But everything is also pertinent, you know, locally to us too. So whether it's international travels or making sure our airports are modernized and have the money to do things that, you know, improve security and improve the traveler's experience.
Congressional delegation was receptive to the conversation.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have three members of Congress who absolutely support tourism so strongly. So, and we always have had. Doesn't matter the party. We have always been blessed with really great members of Congress who support tourism.
Let's talk about legislation in South Dakota and whether or not, because that seems to be on everybody's mind too, do you see an impact on tourism and the economy in the state when we pass legislation that is controversial, you know, in our state and definitely nationally?
Yeah, you know, we really haven't, and I know there was a lot of talk about Senate Bill 149 a couple weeks ago, but we received maybe a dozen letters, but not a lot of feedback on that particular issue. And, you know, we've been fortunate now. We've had seven straight years of growth. The last couple of years, we've had record growth in terms of economic impact and total visitor spending and the total number of visitors who are coming. So we really haven't. And, you know, and what I like to do is if I get an email or I get a letter from a potential visitor from out of state who says, you know, I'm not happy about X, Y, or Z, I like to just pick up the phone and call them and have a conversation and just say, you know, it doesn't matter what city or state or county that you may travel to around our country. There's always going to be an ordinance. There's always going to be some sort of law on the books that you don't agree with. But one thing I want our potential visitors to know is this is an industry that welcomes all. We don't stop you at the border. We don't check your party registration or anything else about you. We just want you to come to our state, and we will guarantee you that the hospitality and the friendliness you find in the tourism industry are second to none, and that we welcome you, and that we want you to have a good time. And that's just the message. You know, whether you agree with certain laws or anything else, we just want you to know that this industry welcomes you, and we're excited to have you. So those sort of conversations, when I can have them, always just go a really long ways for people saying, okay, I get it.
And they feel heard. They feel like you cared and you responded and were willing to listen to to their concerns. Do you get, do you respond to, does the department respond to other complaints? Do you get other complaints about, you know, someone who is not satisfied with their experience, and do you reach out accordingly?
Yeah, we do, but it's rare, and we're so fortunate. We don't get a lot of complaints, which is really a testament to the state and the citizens of the state and the tourism industry. I compile every month just email messages that we're getting, and you know, there can be 100 messages, and there may be one that's not even negative, really, just kind of questioning something or other. But our state and our citizens just do such a phenomenal job. They really do, and of making sure our visitors are welcome from wherever they're at, around the country or around the globe.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment. My guest is Jim Hagen. He's the South Dakota Secretary of Tourism. Jim, 7 straight years of growth. That's significant. What do you think is really driving that beyond just the hospitality of our people who work in the industry?
That's a great question. I think that we have gotten more sophisticated as a department in really taking the dollars that we have and targeting those dollars into the right markets at the right time with the right message. We are so fortunate in this state that we have attractions from east to west. We have history, Native American history and culture, the Old West history and culture. We have so many different elements that are appealing to all 50 states and to visitors from around the world. But we don't have a budget to reach all 50 states. So we have to find where the bulk of our visitors are coming from and really just hone in on them and target them with laser point precision with a message, like I said, at the right time, into the right groups. And I think we've done a really good job, really, really good job over the last couple of years of getting even more sophisticated. So I think, you know, that helps without in spending those dollars smart, in a smart manner and strategically, instead of throwing it to the wind and hoping visitors from Alabama or Georgia or New York or California will come. We know where the bulk of our visitors are coming from, and to be able to spend that money strategically and know that they're going to get it. I think that's a big part of it. Also, the economy has been decent, although we've had downturns for sure. Over the last 7 years. But I think just being smart about our strategy and thinking and looking ahead has really helped.
What are you optimistic about for even more growth? Where are our growth areas?
Yeah, that's another great question. We'll continue to see growth occurring in Minnesota. Even though we have been marketing there for 25 years, I'm still amazed by the number of Minnesotans I meet, by the number of people in the Twin Cities who say, oh gosh, I've lived here for 25, 30 years, or I grew up here and I've never been to South Dakota. I've heard a lot about it. Mm. Minnesota will always continue to be a good market for us. Wisconsin, we started targeting about 10 years ago. That is performing really well. We added Chicago as a target market about 4 years ago, and that is really starting to perform well. The Front Range of Colorado, we've seen inquiries start to spike now from the Pacific Northwest in Washington and Oregon. So, we see a lot of visitors from Southern California and Northern California, but a lot of visitors from Southern California, from Texas, from all 50 states. And so the growth for us is unlimited in terms of where we could be placing those marketing dollars.
Right.
But, you know, in the surrounding area, I think you'll continue to see that Front Range of Colorado, the Pacific Northwest, and states to the east, Michigan, Ohio, et cetera.
All right. Jim Hagen, Secretary of Tourism for South Dakota, I want to say thank you. And I know all my friends on social media are often talking about coming here, so hopefully that kind of boost the conversation as well, just the stuff we share about our own state, we who aren't even involved in the industry.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for putting a spotlight on tourism today.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.